Yo, 1, 2, 1, 2, what it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture by the culture. Yes, 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 and you know, for all our returning heads and even our new people, go ahead, you know, like, subscribe to the channel, Lace Rhymes. You know, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and all the good stuff, you know. So you can follow us with all our shenanigans, you know, from the culture to sneaker drops, album reviews, and everything. So, yeah. Well, back in this motherfucker once again.
Yes, we are. It feels so good to be back.
Oh, yes. Definitely feel good to be back, man. It's getting cold and cold.
The forecast, right?
And cold.
You know what? Are you more of like into the summer? Are you one of those people that bask in the winter?
I actually like both. I do like summer though, but when summer come around, I definitely hate July. I definitely hate July. Super hot, and now it's getting cold, so I'm probably gonna end up hating January because waking up, going outside, it's like 40, 50 degrees.
You know what, though? I'm starting, I don't know what it is. I guess it's just, it comes a part of, like, just, you know, life. Uh-huh. But I'm starting to actually appreciate the winter a little bit more.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm appreciating the whole layer up and even down to, like, the fashion side of it all.
Oh, no, yeah.
I feel like you have a lot more of creative control in the winter than you do in the summer.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Slightly, because, like, summer, you know, you got to get the shorts, you know, it's just how many different variations of shit you can do with shorts and shirts and all that kind of deal. But with the winter, you know, you can bring out the different types of coats. I really miss the times that we grew up in where niggas was rocking those Averax leathers and shit. And it was so wild because it's like we stay in Las Vegas. So it's like it's so wild because it's like, what are niggas doing with Averax leathers?
Big
out
ass
here?
Leather jacket.
But they weren't necessary. They weren't necessary at a certain point. You know, you had the Averax, you had the Pele Pele, you had the, what was the other ones? I remember DaVucci. We really showing our age right now,
but we definitely are.
It's super, super necessary, though. But,
I
appreciated it.
Mm-hmm, and I ain't gonna lie, I have a certain weakness when it comes to, like, you know, seeing women layer it up for some strange reason.
All right.
Like, I love when I see y'all in them winter boots.
Okay, all right. Check you out. Okay.
Forgive me, but hey.
No. It's a thing.
I'm here for it.
Being the great Christian man he is, he says that he loves for you guys to put more on rather than to take more off. And I love it for him. So it's like, hey, no, but I get it. Because like I said, like the hoodies and layering up. And mm-hmm. I just love what the ladies are doing right now with the sneaker combinations and sweatsuits
that's dope,
and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, real fire stuff. So speaking of hoodies and sweatsuits, huge shout outs to the Bold and Blend.
Oh yes, absolutely. Oh yeah, man.
Yes.
You guys could check out them, the Bold and Blend, on Instagram at Bold and Blend. They have a lot of clothes from t-shirts to hoodies to crew necks to shorts and everything. And also too, their social media is popping too. I'm not even gonna lie, like the husband and wife dynamic, and also mm-hmm. too, they got the kids added to the Bowden twins. And
I
like
love
when,
it.
Like when
yes.
I say them kids have a big following, they have a big following.
Okay.
So I mean, so yes, shout out to the Bowden Blend,
yes.
You know, for lacing us up on this episode. So you know, you guys, you can find all of their stuff on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok at the Bowden Blend. You won't be disappointed at all.
And I swear, it's like insulation in here. This hoodie is just so warm right now. So I like, you know, I don't ever co-sign on anything that I don't believe in. And I'm telling you, this is a great hoodie. So
oh no, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it. You know, a lot has happened. You know, as usual, we always have, you know, the ins or the outs of the culture. You know, some fuck shit, some
that's
good.
What we
some,
do.
Yeah, some
the good,
some
bad,
bad,
the
ugly.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
All of it. All right. This week's honorable mention has to go to none other than Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown is a host The Donda Academy basketball game in Atlanta. Jaylen Brown has kept his word to continue to assist and aid students of the Donda Academy amid of the fallout from Kanye West's anti-Semitic comments. The Boston Celtics star has stepped up to host a game between the school's basketball team, the Doves, and the Skill Factory, which will take place in Atlanta on November, with a tip-off beginning at 6 p.m. Brown's moves follow the cancellation of the previous scheduled game at Morehouse College due to the team's association with the embattled rapper. Throughout its history, Morehouse, perhaps any other institution, has stood out for social discourse, which advances equity and healing, particularly in areas involving race, culture, and social economic disparities. You know, and with the statement that he said, we therefore cannot condone our imperception or implication of the recent divisive and unproductive statements by Ye, formerly known as Kanye West. So shout out to Jaylen Brown.
Absolutely,
for this.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's dope. That's really, really dope, though. You know, for him, you know, being a part of the agency and then just watching everything, that how it's panning out, how it's going down, decided to step in, you know, for these kids, because, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, play ball and just doing recreational activities outside the academy. So for him to do that, I mean, like, that's major.
Yeah. Very like, major. You know, like, definitely, that's a phenomenal act. The Donda Academy, for those that may know or may not know, their athletes are actually ranking, like, All-American. Like, they're definitely sought after prospects, you know, mm-hmm. for universities and D1 colleges. So for him to go on ahead and step up and go on ahead and put everything aside to just focus on the kids and amidst, you know, of everything else going on right now, I thought that was really phenomenal, just because it's not really, these are the things that kind of come down a mountain that nobody ever discussed. Like, right. You can go on ahead and try to cancel someone, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be, and not making this about anybody else, but just more so about the kids. But you don't think about the other people that, you know, have to suffer because of the consequences that's kind of coming down, right. That's rolling down. So
right.
The fact that Jaylen Brown, not only did he, step up for the kids, but he's also vice president of the Players Association, mm-hmm. as well, for the NBA.
Oh, no, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
been very vocal of just all injustices. So if we could get another cheer up for Jaylen Brown.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Just being the change that we want to see, and speaking up for those that are, you know, getting any type of getting the uneven stick, you know, these days.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that, and I champion that all day.
Me too. Definitely me too. Like, yeah, man. So next up, this one.
As we slide into commentary for the culture, as you guys know, this is the side where we go on ahead and talk about the latest and greatest in pop culture.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And this one kind of had me excited, though, because Dave Chappelle, GOAT of all GOATs, was on Saturday Night Live. And, man, you know, like I said, like, Dave is the modern day Richard Pryor for this time.
He is.
Like,
for sure,
absolutely.
For sure.
So once again, everybody being a hater, taking a shot at him, you know, the monologue with him and with the Kanye West and with the anti-Semitic comment. You know, hey, I look at it like this. All jokes contain truth.
Yeah.
And if it's funny, it's funny.
And if you're offended by it, it's like you got to try to sit back and understand, like, what truth are you, you know, what's offending you at that moment, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was, I didn't think anybody else could deliver that type of, you know, rapport on that. I didn't think anybody else could actually, like, sit back and, like, Dave was definitely the person to do that.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And this is one of the main reasons why, man, like, I wish, man. I'm going to keep wishing Dave need to have his own show again, because that fucking House of Dragons.
Yes, that was the best variety part. Right? Was
like, he put on, literally had me in fucking tears. Like, that was like the most funniest thing that I haven't seen in a minute. You know, from him doing the characters from Buck Nasty, Silky, from the players, haters, yeah. Tyrone Bigums, Rick James.
that was a great one. I like the barbershop skit also.
Oh yeah, and the barbershop one was funny too.
Like you said, every joke actually has a bit of truth to it. And I like the fact of how fair he was and how even he was. He went on there and he just, you know, he called it out from both sides. And I feel like from a level-headed perception, from a level-headed, you know, view, that would pretty much be, you know, where you're at. Dave definitely gave that representation. So I champion it.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm all the way around. No, yes. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Especially like when Ice-T came on the screen, they started jabbing at each other, and he told that nigga, he was like, nigga, you look like E.T. stunt double. He was like, hate.
But and then it's like, that's why it's so important. It's so important, and it's like, what a time to be alive, like, coming up in the times we did, because it's like, Ice-T was in an original Player Haters role. Right. So it's like, for him, and he was in Pimps Up, Hoes Down. Yeah. I mentioned that in the previous episode. You did. So Ice-T, you know, for those, you know, some may know him from Law & Order, but, you know, for us, we know him as being Ice-T and, you know, ex-pimp. So it's hilarious, like, seeing him being able to switch hats and come in actually having that comic relief because, you know, Law & Order, he's always so serious. Right. You know? So this is really fucking dope.
Yeah,
like,
it was. And especially, like, them, like, you know, trying to cancel him. And nigga was like, y'all niggas been trying to cancel me for all this long. Like, y'all tried canceling him back in the day for Cop Killer. Did that work? No, it didn't.
Actually, he became a cop.
Yeah.
He became a cop. The longest TV running cop. One of them.
That part.
You know, so it's
that
just,
part.
It's Chief Wiggums and it's Ice. Oh, wow.
You fucking said Chief Wiggums.
Chief Wiggums been doing that shit for like 30 plus years. Yeah. You gotta give it to Chief Wiggums. It don't matter. Take him away, toys. Like, no matter what, you gotta give it to Chief Wiggums. But, oh man, I won't say nothing else while you swallowing over.
I hate you for that. Like,
I almost choked here. I almost had to go on ahead and break out the Heimlich skills I know.
She fucking said Chief Wiggums. Like, hey.
Absolutely.
Hey, but you know what, though? Off subject real quick, though, there has been, like, you know, funny cops. Chief Wiggums, the cops that was on Reno 911.
Oh, you know what? Fucking hilarious. The whole Reno 911 cast is just untouched. I was, right. I just saw, like, recently, like, a little clip on TikTok from Niecy Nash and one of the cops and everything. They was asking her for pee. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is, and then you had Jonesy on there and all that. Oh, like, yeah. Reno 911. Because especially being a Comedy Central, you know, kid growing up, which I shouldn't have been on that network at all as a child, because
we shouldn't have though, no, but it made our
it made us level headed. It definitely did. It exposed us, but it definitely showed us the other side of the world. And I feel like it's added to just my extra dose of sarcasm.
Oh no,
but
yeah.
You had Strangers with Candy. You had all that shit on there,
yeah.
Right?
So Crank Anchors, South Park.
You can't say Comedy Central without mentioning South Park, right? Yeah. So that was gonna be my next fucking cop. You know, what's my god shit? What the fuck is my fucking shit?
What's the cop? See, man, you're about to name me.
And this is horrible because he is the slowest. He's worse than Chief Wiggums. Oh fuck, man! This is
man.
Hurry up with that because this is embarrassing at this point right now. And I'm going to be so bad.
Officer Bar Brady.
That's Bob Brady. Yeah, that's him.
Move along, people. There's nothing to see here.
He was the worst. But yeah, no, like you said, you get those cops. And, you know, honestly, like, yeah. Like Ice-T on Law & Order is longer running than Andy Griffin. So so. then Barney Fife, so it's like, all right, then fucking Matlock. So, like, we're, you know, Ice-T's doing it. Said all that to say that Ice-T is definitely doing it. We went on that whole tirade just to let y'all know that Ice-T, he's the guy that you can't, you know,
you
can't get rid of. He's going to be there.
Yeah, and he's funny, too.
He cloned himself with his daughter, so you really can't get rid of him. He came back on y'all, so...
Right,
I thought that was sensational. That with the SNL, you know, it just lets you know that it's still some funny people over there.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely.
That definitely keeps the room going and having that representation. That's making sure that you know, the new age is being properly represented in that room. So thought that was a great,
that was fucking hilarious,
especially because laughter is like the cure of all things. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm gonna find a laugh in whatever the situation. Right.
And if y'all haven't checked that, please look it up on YouTube. House of Dragons SNL. And another honorable mention one is 6 years ago when Dave Chappelle did the whole Walking Dead thing. Both of those are fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Trump's America now, boys. Nigga said, I smell frustration and cocoa butter. We got a Negro upon us.
And another thing that, like, you know, even with Dave, it just really speaks to how brilliant he truly is. Because even with the characters and everything, he was able to still use the characters, but not. And we knew who they were. Like, he owns the likeness to them, but they own the name. So I thought that was really amazing.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. We're going to get into this album later, though. But Nas revealed that he and Jay-Z sometimes joke about their past beef. You know, Nas was recently on the Trevor Noah show, and they were talking about the album, King's Disease 3, which is a phenomenal album. We'll get into that, though.
Right.
But he pointed out the line where Jay-Z was just texting Jay saying, hey, like, you know, this shit ain't over in a jokingly manner, though. But I feel like, it is a joke, though, but also, too, I feel like they still, like, love keeping that competition with one another.
Oh, absolutely. Because, like Nas said, he said, he dropped the tracks list of his album. Uh-huh. And Jay went on ahead and responded with a picture of all his Grammys.
Petty.
It is what it is. But at the same time, it's really dope because we're at a really good space.
Yeah.
Like, remember when those hip-hop beefs really was, like, almost, like, do you remember those beef tapes?
Oh, yeah. And the DVDs. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers was like.
Those were golden.
Yes. They were way more entertaining than even like any Jerry Springer, any Maury episode that you can get, because it was like, I still have a beef. I have Beef 3 on DVD somewhere. And I was like, it's there. And it's like, it's so funny because it's like 50 Cent versus Bang'em Smurf. Little Scrappy versus everybody versus the police.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just so funny because back then they really, like, they had to, like, put on their investigative hat and, like, go through it and everything. But I said that to say, those type of beefs, like, they were talking about it on that DVD, on the fact that G-Unit and Murder, Inc. Beef was so real that it had made it up to Rikers Island.
Yeah.
And you had people, like, for instance, like, you know, you go on... Shit, I don't know. Like, I ain't never been on the yard. I've heard about niggas being on the yard. And they're talking about, you know, of course, they got their different, you know, like, they different cars, like, in the fact of Crips, Bloods, you know, all that other stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. But they were saying that they actually had the situation with G-Unit versus Murder, Inc. on the fucking prison yard.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's like, yeah, niggas were out there getting killed over Murder, Inc. or if you bang G-Unit or Murder, Inc. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is, like, crazy. Like, because it's laughable to us out here. But it's like, you know,
it was a real thing with them inside.
Could you imagine? Could you, like, I'm just saying, just like take a second. Could you imagine being like not staying in prison, but I'm just saying, like, imagine fucking dying because, like, you prefer G-Unit over fucking Murder, Inc.
I couldn't.
Like, that's crazy.
Crazy.
So, but
super
we're saying
crazy.
This to say that's just how deep these beefs go.
Uh-huh.
So it's really amazing to see that these guys are at a place where they can laugh about it and collaborate and actually just really put it where it needs to be, which is just a gentleman's competition. How nice you are. Put that skill to test versus actually, like, you know, making this a whole situation where innocent lives and people have to kind of come about and, you know, get overly emotional, overly passionate about some shit that's just real petty. So I love the fact that they're being the OGs that they are and that they can you know, that, like he said, I still text Hovind and tell him this shit ain't over.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. I felt that.
Listening and dissecting the lines of takeover. Right. Text, still text him to tell his shit ain't over.
Right.
So that's that right now without getting too much into it. Because, again, we're going to give you guys the opportunity to dissect all of this.
Oh, no,
but moving into the next thing, Mr. Soulja Boy, Draco. Big Draco, he had a moment where he's saying that Elon Musk is fucking up Twitter, and
you gotta
hit that Price is Right horn
right now.
How do you feel about that? Because you use Twitter, right? Yeah, it's a yeah and a no. Okay,
yeah,
so
the reason why I say yeah because we just talked about this how like now it's giving free reign of people just like you know using like these. Crazy ass, racist ass slurs on Twitter not getting no backlash or like how Mike Tyson said like you know sometimes like a person need to get punched in their fucking eye.
I'm all about you know free speech
right.
And it's like it's so wild because for somebody I hate when somebody tries to like do something and then they show you they come you know. You're met with the whole reason this is why we weren't doing it.
Right.
So if you waited for this man to lift up any type of bans to just say to start using the N-word and everything, like that just speaks to your character and,
That part.
And honestly, like again, you're putting this out there. I hope, you know, for anyone that's doing that from their accounts and everything, I really hope that the people that have time definitely has time today, cuz, and make sure, you know, they go on ahead and throw that back in your face. As far as just like, again, like you said, the free range, because it's like Twitter has always been a free for all.
Right. It's been like that since
let's not be honest. Let's totally be honest. Like you can go down Twitter and you could be like looking at a tweet and the next thing is porn. And then the next thing is just like all types
somebody's
of like
ass out right? like
the
like,
whole night. So Twitter. Yeah. So Twitter's already been there. So it's like you this nigga like. Oh, opened up the gates. And it was totally unnecessary in some cases because it's like that was something that we really didn't need, but you can't block this without blocking that. But it ended up backfiring because all these advertisement companies like now they're pulling, and it's just Twitter's just turned into like a whole different situation.
Yeah.
So this is actually I say one of those moments where keeping it real goes wrong.
Like
when a person's like you know what? Fuck this! I don't like this. How this being run? I'll buy this motherfucker.
Right.
And they're like, okay, present that.
Right.
Present it.
All right. Here you go. Then they get real quiet.
Remember that episode of South Park where Carmen was like, Janet Reno was his teacher, and she was like, or Miss Chosa.
Oh, Dick. Yeah. Yes, that's on Dick. Yeah.
She was like, he's like, hey, suck my mom. And she was like, present them.
That nigga was whole class was like
he wasn't expecting that, and that's all that they told him. It's like, how about this motherfucker present them.
Just had everybody in that motherfucker quiet.
So it's like now, you know, you got to go on ahead and live on that. You got to live on throwing all that around, and you know, hopefully, because Twitter's an amazing platform. I really believe that it was one of those. It separated the reals from the fakes, in my opinion, because you have to really be clever and you have to be original to a certain extent, aside from the retweets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to, like, really be in your bag to be on Twitter like that. So I hope that they get it all together and, you know, Soulja Boy talking about he gonna make his own Twitter and everything, all that good stuff. Like, I don't know about all that, because, like, in all honesty, we creatures of habits over here, baby.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping they get. I'm not trying to develop a whole new following somewhere else at this moment. But, you know, shit, we will if we have to. So, you know, again, you know, we'll see how all that goes. But, you know, that concludes our commentary for the culture. So it's like it's time for, like, one of my favorite parts of the show. Like, what is this?
Out of pocket.
Take it off.
Yeah, take it off.
That and
I be so sick of you, nigga.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I didn't get that one last episode. Speaking of her, that's music to my ears, because more of that, her album's supposed to be dropping soon too, so that's gonna be awesome. We're gonna be getting on that, and yeah, and Ari Lennox is gonna be coming out here. We're actually our first tour stop.
Oh yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, I secured tickets. I'm really excited.
I knew like when I seen it drop, I instantly thought of you. I was like, yeah, Nikki gonna be. They gonna be all in that motherfucker.
Yeah, man. Without giving too much of the too much, but But I'll give it too much of the too much. Yeah, yeah, somewhere. I possibly could be there. But yeah, no, like you said, out of pocket, this is the segment where we just kind of like discuss some of the things that's going on right now in extension of pop culture that we just feel like is like, what the fuck? Like,
really, right.
Like,
what the
you
fuck?
Out of pocket. You right. Out of pocket as fuck. So first and foremost, this was one that Steve brought to our attention. So I'm gonna let him go on ahead and take this one over.
All right. Too long. We've been letting this little motherfucker get away with and just slide with any and everything. Now she is on a whole nother level, and I'm talking about Bad Barbie. Bad Barbie has officially have posted new selfie pictures of her, and now being accused of blackfishing. Mm. Yeah, so the photos that came out, you know, fans and followers said she looked like a completely different person in her IG videos, where she was sporting blonde hair, darker skin tone, and fuller lips. Blackfishing, if y'all don't know, is when a person isn't black but embodies a physical aesthetics of a black person. Iggy Azalea have done this before, and she also been accused of this before. Black Barbie has been called out for darkening her skin and cultural appropriation for wearing her hair in braids. And this was previous before, you know, back in April, she faced backlash after that. And she went on there saying, there's a whole bunch of killings and everything, and y'all worry about me. Oh, y'all need to start worrying about me. Baby girl, Dolly, we know you want to be a part of the culture so bad. We get it. I understand. But for you to go, your skin tone, it's you really out here, and this is just me. This is a black man. This is a black man speaking. Girl, you look like you light-skinned it.
She does.
You look light-skinned it.
Like, the thing is that it's, like, really, really fucked up. And, like, you know, I just hope nobody, like, take this the wrong way. But it's like, shit, you know? If you seen her walking down the street, I know you a pop at her.
Y'all might holler.
Y'all, hold on, y'all. If you seen her and you didn't know this was Bad Barbie, be honest.
I'm not that ain't your type. That's just me. I can't speak for the masses.
No. I'm saying Bad Barbie. You know this is Bad Barbie from us looking, you know, at the picture now.
Yeah, we know
but
that.
But if you just seen her at a hookah lounge, and you didn't know.
Why are you putting me on the spot right now?
I'm just asking a serious question. If you seen her at a hookah lounge, you would think that she was a light skinned chick, and would you?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, I plead the fifth. No, I feel you. This is, you know, shit. Like, he's like, Nicki, man, Wakanda Forever ain't even been out a whole week, and you try to. He's trying to get me fucking canceled on this podcast. Hell no, no. Like, I'm saying, like, in this situation. No, whatever.
Honestly, I'm being honest with you, I really would think that she's
like, I would all day. But that just corroborates what you're saying as far as her actually, like, really transforming herself. And, you know, some people kind of, like, say admiration is, like, the big highest compliment you can have to a certain extent. But this is my thing with it. Like, when you get to these type of situations with her, and even, like, let's not even pass up on the whole Kardashian-Jenner situation, and just those that have done this before her that laid the foundation for this.
That's a new word, foundations. Foundations.
But they laid that they walk so she could run, and it's like, you know, this is something that's been ignored, and I understand just why people are insulted by this, because it's like, come on now, like, it's like Paul, like the illustrious Paul Mooney said, you know, rest in peace. But it's like, you know, like what he said, everybody want to be a nigga, but not nobody want to be a nigga.
Just a couple years back, we was already on people's heads when they went out for Halloween and was doing their skin tone. Nah, and but their you know that like shit. That
but you know the Halloween ones, bro. Let's not even put her in that category.
I'm trying not to.
No, you can't. I don't want it. These are two different fucking animals, bro. Because those Halloween motherfuckers is going to get that shoe shine polish and putting that shit on their face with big Sambo lips and all of that kind of deal. Like what she's doing is like it. Like she looked like damn near like Sweetie or like fucking like a Doja Cat or some shit like that.
This is
and,
true.
And it's like, it's crazy because it's like, it again, like
she used hella that shit too.
But this is the problem that I have. And you can have as much admiration as you want for you know, for the community and everything and all of that. And, you know, again, Malcolm X, not, what can you do? What can I do to help? Nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, like all of that kind of situation or however people feel. I'm not going there. I'm just going to say like right now, The thing about it is that whenever you could take yours off, I can't take mine off.
I can't take mine off either.
I can't take mine off. So this is the thing that comes along with all of it. It's like it's fetishized. And when we kind of get into that side of it, that's where the offense and everything comes along with it because it's like you could take yours on and off. Like we seen that kid years ago who was rolling around, you know, claiming a Crip out in L.A. Like I want to say I feel like he's from one of the neighborhoods for sure. But he was rolling around. He took the kids in his Mercedes to do that drive-by. And when all the shit hit the fans, those kids are getting life sentences, and he's walking away scot-free.
That's so crazy. I remember reading about that story,
hell yeah,
too.
He in the videos and all that. I definitely, from one of the neighborhoods, I don't want to overspeak on, like, saying that he was from something that or claiming something that he wasn't and putting that on anybody's section like that or anybody's neighborhood. But it's just the point of basically the difference between those situations and these situations is that they can take theirs off and we can't. So that's my issue. Like when it all boils down, like even down to Jay Worthy, that like, and I'll keep on saying that until to that moment hits and, you know, people start connecting the dots on that. But it's like the issue, the biggest issue is that you could take yours off and you can go back home. This is my home. You're a visitor. So it's like when you're a visitor, you know how you're supposed to like conduct yourself as a visitor. Uh-huh. You're supposed to, you know, be mindful and all that. You're not supposed to be coming in, fucking putting your feet on the couch and, you know, fucking going in the refrigerator, coming in and making yourself something out the freezer and shit like that. It's just very disrespectful. Right. So that's where, you know, that's where the disconnection is coming. And then another thing is like, how dare you come out and motherfucking be light skinned, like, you know, take yourself to a level of light skin that you know, born blacks ain't taking yourself to. Right. So it's just
she went a whole nother level.
It's that kind of situation, like, you know, more power to you on finessing the game and catch me outside and all of that, whatever the case may be.
I still can't believe she, look, and people love that shit. I'm shocked that she's still around off of one episode of Dr. Phil. From one episode of Dr. Phil, she became a rapper.
And she became a whole different person. Like, my nigga, like, but this is the deal. Like, again, like, even down to Kylie Jenner, like, she came out and her fucking lips was as thin as a piece of paper. Like, if you look up Kylie Jenner, I'm not hating. I'm not fucking hating. God bless, you know, whatever gets you through your day, whatever, you know, however you feel about it all. I'm not tripping on that. I'm just saying, in a sense, it's very easy to go on ahead and embrace these type of sides of the culture. Mm-hmm. And then when shit hits the fan, it's like, you know, like Kendrick said, are you still a fan? It's like, then you can go back to, you know, living your life. Right. And that's the only thing. Like, that's my biggest thing. I can't speak for everybody else, but that's my problem with it.
And I agree with you. Like, you know, I'm not going to say too much, though, but I just feel like, you know, that's only right. And it's fair. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, definitely, definitely fair. Like, you know, like how you said, like, they could do that, take that on and off whenever they want to. But just you, being a black woman, me being a black man, we can't take this off.
No.
This is us all day, every day.
Regardless if, like, whoever, however, you know, like, if I go into a fucking, if I go into a certain restaurant and everything and they start coughing and all that extra shit that they be doing or whatever. This is the shit I got to live through like every day, regardless if I want to or not. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. So, and it's a huge difference. And to minimize that difference and come over and like just try to fetishize that shit, it's like you got to be mindful of it.
Crazy, 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 crazy. Well, all right. That was our segment of Out of Pocket this week.
Yeah. All right. She got it all. She got all the out of pocket. Yeah. No, she's totally, she did. Okay.
And she got all of that. All right. Moving on. We get into our next segment. Can we kick it? Woo-wee. This week, and I've been saying this about these niggas. Like, I'm like what Uncle Rucky said. Don't trust these niggas over there. Because they're untrustworthy. And the niggas I'm talking about starting off with this week is none other than StockX. Yes, StockX has officially have to replace the term 100% authentic verified because language have been changed to the condition. New and improved StockX verified probably made the change because of the Nike litigation that they had, you know, Nike, you know, just grilling them about everything. So now when you're on StockX, when you see that 100% authentic, and when you go back to the site now, it's not up there no more.
No, it just says condition new. In all honesty, and it's like, it's really fucked up because I feel like we've touched on this on previous episodes on just how good the replicas are getting compared to actually the, you know, in some cases, right. The replicas from what I've been seeing is like better condition than actually the ones that Nike, they're all coming out of the same factory.
I was just about to say that they all come from the same
place.
Yeah,
they come from the same factory. So it's like, you know, that kind of situation. So I can understand like on how some can really slip through the cracks and everything.
Uh-huh.
But my thing about this, my biggest takeaway, because StockX, let's not even, you know, bullshit. And I you know, this morning, I'll get on that when we get to that shoe. But StockX definitely is a heaven sin in some cases. It's StockX and GOAT because of the fact that it's like,
it is.
I get tired of people like back in the day that's like, oh man, you know, shit, try to act like they're going to buy my damn shoes off my feet type of situation. Right. It's like, no, you too can get it if you, you know, there's no shoe that you can't have if you got the money. And yeah, a lot of it is overpriced and all of that. But my gripe with StockX is like, you guys charge a fucking arm, a leg, and the blood of my firstborn for you guys to verify these shoes.
Yeah.
So and they're very much marked up. They're marked up extremely. Mm-hmm. Then in addition to that, they're charging you to verify them and everything else, right? So my thing is with this new change in the verification process on like that you're not guaranteeing it, is the price going to change on this whole?
That's what I'm wondering too. You asked a good fucking question. Like I'm with you on that. It's the price is going to change because now I think by that little one simple change. This is just my opinion. Who knows? Maybe it will or won't happen. I think it's going to slow their business down a little bit because now it's getting to the point, like even as consumers, and then you got some consumers out there. See, I told you not to fuck with them. I told you. And then you have some that have been rocking with them since day one, and they're going to be like, oh, man, like, okay, like, do I still shop with them? Or, like, what if I get a sneaker and I decide I want to resell that sneaker? Is that sneaker good? Or is it a replica, this and that?
And I'm paying too damn much money, like, through you guys to be getting replicas. It's like, if that's the case, then, you know, you can go on ahead and go to the dark side and go to the dark internet yourself and go get those shoes for, you know, a quarter of the price if that's what you're, you know, you are. But if you're a purist and you're going through these people for a reason, you should be... you know, getting what you, that's like pretty much like going through like an authorized Rolex dealer or whatever the case may be. It's like, nigga, if I wanted a knockoff Rolly, I could have just went on ahead and got a knockoff Rolly.
Right.
But why would I come to you and pay you all this money for a fucking knockoff Rolly now? So in addition to you guys, like you said, not guaranteeing it, it's like to also charge with that. It's like, come on now. Like, but I have had a pair of shoes, like, I've ordered off of StockX, and they were rejected by StockX because the shoes weren't real. But StockX ended up getting me a real pair. But, you know, I've seen the other side where the initial pair wasn't, you know, the ones that they sent.
Right. Well, I'm just at this point, man, like, we just only time to tell. Just got to see where how this is going to play out. All right, moving along. Oh, this one. Actually, I'm kind of excited for you know, this has always been a fan favorite of mine, especially growing up, though. But now to see him being brought back to the light, and it's none other than the Reebok question. But the Reebok question means.
Yes.
And I'm loving this colorway with this the Denver Nugget inspired colorway, to be exact at that, you know. So this upcoming mirrors the pair AI wore during this 2007 run with the Denver Nuggets and wore the Reebok question mid in rotations with the Reebok answer 10 and the Reebok question 3. The sneaker uses the same Denver color hues with the white leather and base of the baby blue yellow accents throughout the shoe. The iconic toe cap is seen in baby blue nut buck and with the Reebok vector on the quarter panel on the heel on the tab. The yellow accents are seen on the Questions logo and the heel logo on the 3. The Reebok Question Denver Nuggets PE aka On to the Next will be released in November 26th at select retailers for $160.
Nice.
Yeesh.
Yeah, hey. the questions are definitely, I feel like everybody's favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And going back again, you know, we just covered, a OG Reebok, the DMX just last week, though. And again, I just go back to say, like, you know, not knocking nobody, though, but this is a shoe you definitely have to have in your collection.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It don't matter. It don't matter if you're Team Jordan, all Team Yeezy, you gotta have a pair of Reebok questions in the collection. You have to.
Yeah. The question, like, I feel like a pair of Iversons.
Yes, yes.
Like,
no,
you know,
yeah.
You gotta have at least one pair of AI somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere on a cut, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Unless you were just an extreme Kobe fan, which would be, like, it was really, that was, like, G-Unit and Murder, Inc. That was beef. I remember, like, people really, like, in the quad area, and it was real, it was one of those things. Even if you knew that the Iversons look better, you still have to stand on the side of, like, Kobe. You know, kind of deal. Like, it was like that Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant fucking Sprite commercial. It's a Tim Duncan. Cold, son. Don't try it.
Absolutely.
But the Iversons, definitely, I feel like that's a great colorway. Personally, I probably would lean more towards the DMX, the answers last week. The black and gold, you know, too cold. And go that way. right. I probably would go that way. But no, I really like the red and white ones for sure. But I probably lean more towards those. But I think that's a real wavy colorway. And I like what they're doing as far as, you know, bringing back.
I ain't going to mess with you, though. But I did hear you say you like the red and white. See, look, your love for red is growing.
Oh, man. My God. Yeah. I wear a lot of red. I wear red. I wear blue. I wear all the colors of God's rainbow, you know.
I knew you was going I knew you was going to do that.
I was, you know, because it's just like, hey, man, it's like, hey, at the end of the day, it's just, it's all in the same gang, right? Don't you know? You know? You can't come out here trying to undercover bang on me, Steve.
I didn't undercover bang.
No, you did. I like how you like the red. Yeah, no. You know,
I'm just liking how you're.
But Steve, you acting like I don't own red shoes.
I never said that.
Okay, I'm gonna go where the looks are. The looks are on the red and white ones on those.
I know, but those are
smoother.
You're still team blue, so
hey, you know, that's a family thing, you know. that's a family thing, but you know, like it's representation on both sides.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. All right, last sneaker up is The Jordan 4, you're going to have to pronounce this for me because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Amon Manier.
Okay. Ooh, see, thank you. See, this is what I'm talking about, baby. Teamwork, baby. Yeah, teamwork. Yeah. Teamwork. So this sneaker
was released today.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely today, though. But, you know, on this sneaker, have the violet or throughout the upper and overlays, excluding the black heel tab with the Nike Air branding. And it's not about the shoe where you're going to print it on the inside of the tab. Co-branding, you can see on the tongue tag with the quilted liner once again making an appearance on the Amon Manier Air Jordan collab. Branding is seen again on the hang tag with the sail and the black midsole on the violet or outside the fishing off the sneaker. Man, when I saw the price on these, I was like, ooh.
That's real nasty. It's real ugly. So this is the thing, right? So they released them directly on their website, and I feel like they had a sneakers drop. They were on the sneakers. I don't got the sneakers app on my phone. I haven't had it for years.
You got rid of it?
I've been got rid of
it. Oh, damn. Like, I haven't.
That's discipline right there. Like, yeah. I haven't, like, you know, like, until, and I heard that they're actually fixing it. I never have any issue with Nike. I just didn't like the way that the sneakers app was being handled. Mm-hmm. So I was like, until they fix that shit, I'm not about to be sending myself through these type of anxiety. It really was like fucking up my mental health. Like, it really was fucking up, like, anxiety in a situation. Like, you waking up at, like, you send your alarm clock, especially right. on a Saturday for those Saturday drops. Like, you send your clock up at, like, say 6:50. You waking up 6:50 on a Saturday, and you could sleep in, and you get there, and only for, like, you to hit the button, your information, your credit card, everything is already pre-fucking loaded. Mm-hmm. And only for, it's still 7:00 on the dot, in the words of Usher. Usher. I'm not in the drop top, I'm in my bed at this time. But 7:00 on the dot, and for this fucking shoe to sell out?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was just it was just happening too much, and it was starting to feel like the lottery and all that shit. I'm like, nah, you know what? Fuck them. I'm not going to beg. I'm not about to beg them to take my money.
Yeah.
But this morning, it was actually released directly through Amon Manier. And I went on the website and everything, and I got the shoes, and I had the shoes. It was in the cart. And it was like one of those concert moments where it's like, oh, you're waiting in line to check out. That's just that 58 minutes. I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. You know, like, hey. If I'm able to get all the way to the end of this right now, right. Like, you know, just by waiting an hour, like, I'm going to do it. So, I'll drop my son off at school, make my little runs and everything. By me getting into it, like, at 38 minutes or whatever, it's, like, sold out. But to their defense, what I do like what they're doing is that they are going through right now and canceling all of the duplicate orders. So, if you
have... Yes.
I saw them canceling orders that had 30, that had multiple pairs, that had 30 pairs and all of this in there. So, like, I really love that they're doing their due diligence because for these companies to act like, you know, they don't have any control over all this shit that we're going through, it's just, you know, it's BS. It's like, this is y'all system. How are they smarter than you with your system? So,
right.
So stop it. Just stop it. But a couple of days ago, I looked at the resale on those and they were like, and like almost like $900. Today I looked at it and I seen damn near my size in like the 3. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just wait it out.
Oh yeah, wait it out.
I'm gonna let it drop. But then I went back in, and those shits was like back in the 4s. So I'm gonna see. I really would love a pair of these because, like you said, that sail bottom as well as that violet ore, like it's just gorgeous. I feel like this is an amazing winter shoe, and I know the ladies are gonna kill it with these right here. And I got this thing about. Like missing buses and shit like that. I don't like that. But so we'll see. This might actually be maybe possibly a Christmas present to myself, but I got other things that's on my wish list as well. So we'll see. But
speaking of that, what is on your wish list?
A car.
Hey, I'm not mad at that.
Hey, shit. It's a time and place for everything, and it's like I'm looking at my. I've already got my eye on one and everything, so I'm like, all right, so shit. Let me go on ahead and you know we already know like that what's on my palate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll see. Okay,
then. Other than the car, is there any small like little items that you would like to have?
Amon Manier's.
Okay.
No, I'm just fucking with you. Well, shit, honestly, I don't know. Like, this is just real grilling. I'm always one of those people, like, I got, like, 30, 40 people to shop for, like, with my kids and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just a blessing. I love the fact that God uses me as a vessel to be able to do that. Oh,
no, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, it just is. It's not my time. I don't really focus on it right now. Like, you know, I can't throw out anything. Like, just personally, it's hard to be on the spot. Like, I'm just used to always doing it myself. And then shit, me and my 22 and twin, we normally we exchange really dope gifts for each other and shit. But other than that, like, man, I don't really know. I can't say that right now.
Oh no, yeah.
How about yourself? What's on your list?
Nothing, honestly, nothing too crazy. Only thing I just want, like, you know, hey, if out there, if anybody listening, if you could pay another extra year on my PS5 subscription, we good. We Gucci.
Hey, that's practical.
We Gucci.
Hey, that's smart.
We Gucci. Oh, yeah. Give me all the Modern Warfare 2 packs on there, and we good. We good.
My son said that shit like almost like $1,000.
We good.
That ain't no small feat. Is it true? Is that shit like really like $1,000?
It's not $1,000.
You know, and to crown myself, you know, it's been a minute, and my guy finally got his stuff together and all that good stuff. Because every time we were about to do it, we couldn't do it because of just different things. Like, hey, his behavior wasn't aligning, and we don't reward you know things. Yeah. We don't reward things that's when it's not in alignment over here. But my guy finally got his stuff together. And for 11/11, he got his PlayStation 5. So,
Oh, yeah. That's best system out there ever, okay. Though. But yeah, I mean, the game, it was like $60, but all the extra add-ons. I mean, it ain't that expensive. It's not that expensive. I just feel, this is my opinion, all those extra add-ons that you're spending, it's like you buying a pair of Jordan 1s. That's it.
Okay.
You know, and it's gonna be on the system forever.
Forever.
So all right. I mean, yeah. No. But other than that and some socks. That's it. I'm simple. I'm a simple dude. Like simple though. But this concludes our Can I Kick It segment.
Slightly,
but before we get up out of here, it's Nikki's turn with the kick. Pick and the kick unboxing.
It's really not an unboxing. These shoes have been unboxed for like a fucking long ass time.
Hey, don't matter. Don't matter.
My kick pick this week is none other than the Jordan 12 playoffs.
Nice.
As we know, these were re-released this year, and definitely copped a fresh pair. In the words of Nolly, you know. But these were from the 2003 drop, right? The reason why these actually hold near and dear to my heart is that these were actually, like, I had purchased, like, some J's, like, my first pair, like, that my mom, like, to memory and everything, because she'd do her little stuff, like, while we growing up and everything. Mm-hmm. But, like, to memory was the Brave Blue 13s. Those were the ones that, like, I asked her for my birthday to get them for me for my birthday, and she got them. All right. So those down the line probably come up as another kick pick.
Okay.
But these right here were, and then, like, keeping up with the Joneses and everything, mm-hmm. I had actually bought the Ferrari Black Toes, like, with my birthday money. So she got me the Brave Blue 13s, and then with my birthday money, I went on ahead and bought the original Black Toe 14s myself. So those were real special to me. But these right here, these were actually the first pair of J's that I actually worked for. So, you know, working in the movie theater, you know, doing the whole working it. Like, I'm serious. Working in a fucking movie theater.
Which movie theater you worked at?
At the Texas. Rest in peace.
Oh, that's crazy.
I was at the Texas. Yeah. Hell yeah. I was there for You Got Served and all of that good jazz. Right. So these daddies right here had to work in Mac cassette, you know, had to tolerate a whole lot of motherfuckers in that concession stand to get these motherfuckers right here. And I wouldn't trade anything in the world for them. So I still keep them to this day just as a symbol of just how far I done came. And just the fact of, like I said, these just really hold so near and dear to me because, like, it's easy. Like, yeah, my mom done bought me shit. And, you know, growing up, then got the aunties and uncles and the spoiled shit and all of that kind of deal. But these were actually the first pair of shoes that I purchased myself, and that I knew what it took to actually get them. And yeah, like, hey, I still got them. I can't do shit with them, as you guys probably can see, because they coming up. Shout out to New Life Kicks. We're going to go on ahead and hit them up and manifest that one, because these right here, I wouldn't, since they released a new pair, released them again this year, I got a whole new pair, so I wouldn't need to necessarily restore these. But I definitely keep them on, like, display. Like, none short of bronzing these hoes, these mugs are going to always be with me. So, this was my kick pick this week. The Jordan Playoff 12s, black and white.
Yeah, man. No, yeah. Yeah, no, and they stayed the test of time.
They definitely did. And this is also a testament, before we get out of here, this is a testament of wearing your fucking
shoes. Wear your fucking shoes,
because, as
man.
You guys can see, like, low-key, I kind of coveted these hoes. And the thing is that now, like, you guys can see the condition of them, like, up here, you know, they start separating and all that kind of deal. They were in a box. And you can see with the sole also, it's still a lot, you know, there's a lot of sole left here. But they weren't worn to their full potential, because I was wearing other shit, you know, and all that other deal, all the other deals or whatever.
Well, but yours is still intact, and like mine still hurt my soul till this day. My goddamn Chicago patented leather ones, and these were when back in the day. And I tell everybody, and y'all love to give Jordan so much shit though. But back in the day, like early 2000s, a lot of the Jordans were mid cuts. They weren't the high cuts now. They were mid cuts. So when, you know, the Divas and the FITs, we'll get into that. Another, that's,
yeah,
like
we,
a long,
we've yeah, given them their flowers yeah, quite yeah, a bit of times yeah, on yeah, here. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They all had on the black and gold patented leather ones. And so they had two other colors that was out since that color was sold out. They had the Carolina Blues. Shout out to my best friend Adrian. He had those pair. Mm. And I had the Chicago's, the patented leather, red, black, and white. And when it came to school, I probably, like, throughout the years, maybe only wore them, like, once or twice and just kept them in the box. Mm-hmm. And so, like, probably, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 years has passed. I want to say, I think I was, like, 22 or 23. About to get ready and go out. You know, somewhere simple to a lounge, so trying to seen them, in, but I seen like the yellow and the discoloration on the bottom. I'm all like, man, I'm not tripping. I'm all like, at that time, I was like, yeah, the yellow was dope. Put those on, walking down the hallway. Next thing I know, I just heard a. I'm all like, what? Hold on, wait a minute. My whole right shoe sole just literally ripped apart. Like,
that's horrible.
All the way up.
That's horrible.
And then, well, it didn't make it any better. Both of my little brothers was laughing, like, literally down in the hallway laughing. Like, you know how bad I wanted to choke both of them out because they were laughing. And that right then and there just let me know, like, okay, whatever pair of shoe I buy, I'm not holding it. I'm wearing every single pair that I have. So, like, for real. Wear your shits. Like,
you
like,
have
like,
to.
Like, you have to. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Putting them in the storage ain't going to help. Because if you put them in the storage, I done already seen this happen. Not only is the bottom of your soles is going to fall off. Y'all don't know this. Shoes can get mold on them. Yes.
I've seen that too. And yeah. That's like that's like, the thing about the moisture. So here's one of the things. Itch. This is just for all the sneaker community. You know, I'm sure if you listen to this segment, you have an appreciation or affinity for sneakers. One of the methods that I've come to, like, really adore, because I, the fucking fives, and they were starting to turn, my fives were starting to turn yellow. What I did was I got the Ziploc bags, the, I want to say the 2.5 gallon, and, you know, I have a smaller foot, so I was able to put both of my pairs of shoes in there. I said, yeah, put the entire pair of shoes in there. For some, you might have to put one shoe in that bag or whatever the case may be, but don't underestimate the power of a Ziploc bag and silica gel packets. You want the gel packets in there because it's supposed to absorb the moisture, and that might buy you some time, but that does not negate from the fact of what Steven is saying right now on wearing your shit. So you bought them. We're not reselling over here. That's not our thing. we want to wear them, we want to get these mugs in rotation. And it one of the, I feel like one of the biggest things is actually, like, if you got a dead stock pair of shoes, you're not just trying to wear those mugs to just go to the grocery store or whatever the case may be. So it's about kind of coming out of the house too with it all and all of that kind of deal and having the right moment. But we got to create those moments and actually, you know, wear buy your shoes with the intention of wearing them.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so this concludes our kit pick. You know, shout out to you, Nikki. Absolutely. This is a great pick.
Very sentimental. Pick. Like, it took a lot. It was like, it took a lot out of me to, like, even share that story, you know? So I appreciate that.
All right. Let's get into it. Whew. I mean, what can I say? This album has been the talk pretty much of the whole community, and it's none other than Nas, King Disease. But before we get into King Disease 3, we're going to start from the beginning.
Yes, we are.
Yes, and that's going to be the first installment of King Disease. Of this trilogy. And I love the story behind it when he had told on Trevor Noah how, like, when COVID was happening and he was just locked in, he didn't want to come out and whatever and whatnot. And Hit-Boy was really just on his head. Hey, you need to come out. Let's do some music. Let's do this. Next thing you know, they knock out one album. That was so good. They just gave us back to back to back to back. Even with Magic, you know.
People can say whatever they want to say about Magic, but in all honesty, you know, him and Hit-Boy, that's exactly what they are. They're Magic.
Oh, no,
Hit-Boy
yeah.
was able to bring something out of Nas that, unfortunately, and now, you know, we've grown to appreciate all the different production that he's had from DJ Premier and, of course, The Alchemist and, you know, so on and so forth. But him and Hit-Boy, they just really, like, come together so great. To the point where this actually, the first King's Disease awarded Nas's first Grammy. So that's not a small feat.
Absolutely.
Before we get into the King's Disease, there's just a couple things that, you know, we got to make sure that we address, because we wouldn't be right. We wouldn't be doing it right. We wouldn't be right. We wouldn't be here if we didn't talk about these things. So go ahead, Steve. Go ahead and kick it off slightly.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. In regards of this, things has been floating around, like, you know, this is has been, you know, the best, you know, in regards of, you know, him and I don't want to give him too much praise, so, because we didn't already got on his head last week though, but I gotta do it again. This motherfucker 21 Savage, yo.
It ain't praise. It's like, at this moment, it's because it's a balance, baby. We got to keep the balance.
Even
down to, like, it's something like what Kodak said. It's like, man, it's just this new album kind of got, like, you know, it's like people comfortable disrespecting people they don't know who to not disrespect. And let's just be honest with this one. I can't necessarily, because when the guy is coming out and saying, oh, I didn't mean it like that, who am I? I don't want to be one of those people that's sitting there and actually going in, like, oh, you know, focusing on the, like, you know, someone's telling you what they intended and what they meant by it. But I'm like, no, this is how I perceived it, and making that law. The whole Nas, you know, not relevant. I heard the statement and everything. And we all know that that's just, like, the craziest thing. But, you know, just like with, you know, the guy Crank Lucas. They have a list of demands on things that 21 Savage can actually do.
Right.
You know, in claiming that Nas is irrelevant. Okay, we're going to go with one. Apologize to Nas and his family, as well as the hip-hop community. Two, learn and recite the entire Illmatic album.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'm agreeing with that
one.
We
got three, donate 21. You know, you're not unfamiliar with that number. 21 million to the inner city youth of Queensbridge.
Ooh.
Four, this one was really, really interesting to me. Four, shave his head and play Sincere in the stage adaptation of Belly on Broadway. That one was interesting as well. Five, put out 10,000 flyers of King's Disease all over New York. King's Disease 3, I should say.
Yeah, all KD right. 3.
All right. Six, admit that King's Disease 3 is better than her loss, both sonically and lyrically. And seven,
that's a fair statement.
Seven, last but certainly not least, meet with the hip-hop community leaders to understand what relevancy is. And we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it there. We'll go on ahead and again thank Crank Lucas for that one. You know, those are the list of demands. And we'll go there. But to not give too much to that, just go on ahead and get into the art and the projects that the trilogy that is King's Disease. We're going to go on ahead and start it off with the first one. If you guys, I'm sure you guys are familiar with these projects, but we're just going to go ahead and touch back over it, because, of course, like, when you get into King's Disease from the intro and just how Nas, like, just came into it and just letting us know how nice he is and how much he still, it ain't even still has it. It's just how sharp he is. He's a very sharp guy. But the production on every song, Car 85, just listening to that and just hearing the story behind it, because one of the things that some may go on ahead and say and some may not is that Nas is one of the greatest storytellers of our time, like, that we'll ever witness. Like, he's definitely a Shakespeare of our generation. And Car 85, how he can just take that story and just put you in that moment. Out here on the West Coast, we don't necessarily have that situation where we got to call a car up, mm-hmm. and, you know, go through the whole taxi, like, you know, Uber and all that shit now. Mm-hmm. But if anything, you know, it's the metro, it's the cab bus, it's whatever right. it is. It ain't that kind of situation. But
right.
on the East Coast, like, for him to go on ahead and let you know, like, hey, this is the car that had the sound system, had the vibes going. Anytime he go on a ride, he going to Shorty's house, he's doing this, he's doing that. This is the car he's calling up, and this is the car that the one that the entire hood liked. Also, so the story behind that, of course, the Ultra Black, and even having Hit Boy come out and kind of come from behind the boards on that and get on that one, and, you know, us getting a little sample of that. And, you know, it was just so many favorites. One of the biggest takeaways from the first King's Disease was the full circle for me, because
I'm with you on that.
It was the firm reuniting and having them come back, you know. And then also, in addition to the firm, because Cormega came on and he replaced Nature in that situation. Mm-hmm. But just hearing AZ and Nas, and, like, man, I thought those are top tier for me.
Those
and then also, like, you know, one of the things that nobody can actually even talk about too with Nas is that I love the fact that he actually taps in with the younger guys. Like, he's not one of those that's just sitting there and, you know, pulling from those that's just in his generation. He has songs on this project with Don Toliver, Big Sean, Lil Durk. We also had ASAP Ferg, fucking Fabio Foreign. And it's like, if you're not, you know, that just, it's a testament to mm-hmm. to just let you know, like, hey, I can move and go through all these rooms. So, again, it's not a tug of war and all of that. But another one of my favorite songs off of the first King's Disease was Spicy. And that shit's just, it's just so nice, man. Like, little advice, always add ice.
Oh, wow, always, that's crazy.
Always add spice. Always get the liquor with the ice. Yeah.
That's your favorite?
That's one of them. That's one of them for sure.
Like, yeah, don't hurt me though, but that's one of my least favorite on that.
Oh, that motherfucker nice. I don't care what you know, say. I'll you play know that what? Motherfucker
and,
right now.
And you know what though too? I even went on to say this, and, like, you know, and I still stand on this. When I had said this probably months after when it had dropped and we had did a review on here, I said King's Disease might be better than Illmatic. I said that because of production-wise. And the reason why I look at the production-wise, and when I have first reviewed this, Nas remind me of when Ice Cube left NWA and Ice Cube didn't have no production. Ice Cube went to the East Coast and sought out the Bomb Squad. But it was like a reversal of roles where he's been using a lot of the East Coast production and he went out West to use a West Coast production, and it worked for him. We know Illmatic is a classic, top five, maybe even top three hip hop albums of all time. But give this album time, I think this is going to age a little bit better than Illmatic, in my opinion. Because you just going down from the track list, from everything from Blue Benz, Car 85, Ultra Black, Replace Me, The War Is Won, All Bad, Full Circle, 10 Points, The Cure, Yes, it is up there with Illmatic, and I stand on that.
Hey, and that's the reason why your ears belong to your head and my ears belongs to my head. I can't stand on that one. I won't. I just, you know, hey, Illmatic is Illmatic. I'll just say this is definitely one of his best projects. The trilogy itself is definitely one of his best, like, works of art. One of the things, like you said, as far as with Nas, some of his best projects, some of his best songs also comes from The Alchemist. Like, a lot of people kind of get it twisted. And because of Alchemist's relationship with Mobb Deep and how heavily influenced he is out there, he's fucking from Cali, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like, you know, and yeah, like, no, like the King's Disease, KD.
All right. So, all right, let's go into this this KD2 real quick.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Now when we get into KD2, following year right after COVID, we got The Pressure. We got Death Row East, where he explaining his side of the story where he met Pac in the park. We heard this story from Snoop, but now we're hearing it from his view. 40 Side, EPMD, which is actually my favorite on King Disease 2. That was dope. Rare, YKTV, Store Run, Moments, another one of my favorites. Nobody with Lauryn Hill. Everybody, of course, like, you know that line, I'm out here saving souls and y'all complaining about me being late to my shows. We get it, Lauren. Like,
Steve. I've been waiting all day just to hear you go over somewhere to be nobody. I've been waiting all day to hear your interpolation.
Man, look, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, is she a lyricist? Yeah, though, but that.
Oh, no, let's leave Lauren where she's at right now. Because the thing is that you can't deny she japped on that song. Take everything else. Take it off. Take all that off. You gotta admit she japped on that song. You can't say that she didn't.
I ain't saying she didn't though, but nigga, you still be late to your shows, bro.
Okay.
All right, Phony Love with Charlie Wilson.
Absolutely. Yeah. He tapped in with Uncle Charlie.
Yeah,
again.
That was dope. Brunch on Sundays. I wasn't a fan of that. This is so wild.
It's like you think you know a person and then you find out that they don't like spicy and fucking brunch on Sundays. Sundays is like the motherfucking anthem. It's like he definitely like, and even I like the visuals on that one too, but Brunch on Sundays is like, that's because that's word to me and the girls. Like,
we know that's grown people music.
It ain't even just grown people music. That shit is a testament to what it really is. This fucking Brunch on Sundays, like me and my sister Nate, shout out to you Nate. Like, we fucking had Player Sundays going on. Like, that's what we would do. We'll get together and go have brunch every fucking Sunday. And it's like, that was before the song dropped. So when the song dropped, we was just like, hell yeah. This shit is definitely it. And then my Bible, like, Nas just like I said, we're saying this to say King's Disease didn't disappoint us.
Oh, no, yeah.
It was actually sometimes that I was actually at a tug of war. I'm like, I'm not going to put it in competition. In all honesty, I'm actually just going to make a playlist with all three of them and just throw that hoe on shuffle.
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah. All right, so now it brings us to this moment, to King Disease.
You need that Ric Flair. Oh, man. You need to put that back. You need to throw that hoe on the board.
I got
to
add that on the board, though, because that Ric Flair was tight. That was tight.
You see the box.
King Disease 3. Ghetto Reporter, Legit, Thun, Michael and Quincy, love the little playoff on the ad off on that. 30, Hood to Hood, Recession Proof, Reminisce, which is one of my favorite, and why I like Reminisce so much, towards the end, how that beat has switched, and he went from the sample, turned it into an NYC drill sound, and you seeing Nas rapping in a drill type flow. That was fucking amazing. That was amazing. Like that was like dope for me to hear him do that. Serious Interlude, I'm on Fire is dope. WTF SMH dope.
That was my favorite. That was one of my favorites. And then Once a Man, Twice a Child.
I love that one.
The message on that is just like, because again, that's something that we're all, you keep living. You keep living and that's what's gonna happen.
Yes. Get Light, First Time, Beef, Don't Shoot, and even with the bonus track, Till My Last Breath. Man, look, I'm not even going to go through the, not even play a snippet, though, but I'm just saying, though, this man, he deserves every fucking flowers that he's get, because you gotta think about it. His first debut was, I want to say, 94, but if you know your history and you know hip-hop, we first heard him on Main Source Live at the Barbecue when the nigga said, when I was 12, I went to hell from snuffing Jesus. Then, from that, you get him on Third Base, Back to the Grill Again, where he said, I'm a serial killer who's waiting by the phone booth. Like, the kid.
And not to mention the halftime on the Zebra Head soundtrack.
Yes, yes. So,
it's just like Nas has been putting in work and laying the foundation.
Man.
And the thing about Nas and when you get into GOATs, when we have these conversations about GOATs, it's like they just get better with age. That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
With some of these careers and some of these athletes and, you know, with other entertainers, they have certain expiration dates just because of the way that they their branding went, right? The way that you lay it all out. One thing about Nas and Jay that I feel like, you know, no one can actually deny, we can't really speak and speculate, unfortunately, on Tupac or Big just simply because they're not here. But one thing about the way that they structured that their career is that they've allowed themselves to not be put in a box, to not be in a corner, and they're aging gracefully. They're moving with the times. They're not just like in a stuck in an era. And you know, my cousin and I, you know, my brothers, we were all having this discussion, and you know, not only in our group chat, but just like pretty much in our conversations, where we were discussing how. Pretty much like right now with a lot of these artists there, it's like a high school or, you know, college experience where you got a 4-year and they graduate and they get out, and either like you either going ahead and continue on or you just are out of here. And we've been getting a whole lot of four and dones, you know, where they're coming through,
they're hot.
This is all you're hearing about. And then next thing you know, they're out of here.
Uh-huh.
So one thing that I feel like we need to just make sure that we acknowledge when we're speaking about people such as Nas, the Jay-Z's, and even Slick Rick for that matter, because we just heard him earlier this year on that DJ Premier with Lil Wayne, is that, and the Snoop Dogs, you know, like the list goes on. These guys are just, they're still getting to it. They still got it. And that's what it's supposed to be. They're keeping their minds sharp. And As you grow, you're supposed to be wiser. You're supposed to be better. So, like, the fact that they're still coming down and blessing, coming out of their moments in life and taking themselves away from just being on the beach and suntanning and all of that, and, like, blessing us with this game and hitting us with this wisdom, we should be very grateful, which, you know, I know that the majority of us are. But we got to also take a nod to the point of the way of the structure and of their career and how much they have how well they've marketed themselves to actually be timeless. That's where they're at right now. These artists that I'm mentioning right now, your Snoop Dogs, your Jay-Z's, your Nas, they're infinite. These are infinite artists, because every time they don't just come and talk to just talk. Whenever they speak, they have something to say. So these are our patriarchs.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
And for them to still be so fucking nice to actually still be here and saying stuff that, you know, is relevant to this day, because, you know, one of the things, like, I love the First Time, like you said, Once a Man, Twice a Child, but even down to the What the Fuck, you know, Shaking My Head, one of the things that was on there was like almost as if he knew that all this, like, this particular situation was going to end up happening, because he's like, nigga, why aren't you proud of Nas? Like, I gave you game. I did this. I did that. Why aren't you proud of Nas?
Oh, no, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's, absolutely. That's what it is. So,
oh, no, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So with Nas right now, I just, you know, huge salutes, huge thank you. Raised me for sure.
Absolutely. All right, before we get into our classic corner, you know it's about that time for you.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Okay, yeah, so on this week's If You Don't Know, Now You Know, we're giving y'all a 2-for-2 this week. Both artists hailing from California. First up, Miles Prime. Caught with a Miles Prime with him dropping a lot of freestyles on his Instagram and YouTube. And then just not only that, though, he was just recently, you know, with just getting denied from Bootleg Kev out there in California. He's been moving and grooving, and also, too, got a song called Say Less, where you can find the song on Spotify and Apple. It's not on Tidal, though, but you could check it out on Spotify and Tidal. Yeah, yeah. Nice, and like also, that. Too, on YouTube. So I'll give you a little snippet of this real fast. Returns from my tutelage. They can't move, pay dues, use a counterfeit. Two pole judo flips, what's happening, nigga? I be in the middle west, cracking, nigga. My west side gringos active, nigga. White boy lingo, I'm the raddest, nigga. Be there, be red, rehab, mind of my own cash. Kind of gave me like more of a west coast twisted type of vibe.
Yeah, yeah. No, yes, definitely.
And very very smooth. I really enjoyed that one.
Oh, no, yeah. Sure. No, yeah, me too. And the guy, he's just working. Like, and I love that, like, you know, when we come across artists like that, you know, where they just you know, just building their name, getting a solid rep out there, and just laying a foundation for themselves, man. So that first one was Miles Prime. Miles
Prime. Is that his handle on Instagram also?
Yes.
Okay, his handle, of course, we're going to tag him as well, but yes. Miles Prime, Say Less is what we gave you guys a snippet of, and, you know, real smooth guy.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. And, next up, this artist been working hard this whole year. Mixtape after mixtape after mixtape after mixtape after mixtape. And it's none other than Jimmy Waters. Jimmy Waters. If y'all don't know, this dude is like, he's super dope. Got a real super smooth flow, like real playerist, and just subtle and smooth. And he recently had dropped a mixtape called No Sleep for Hustlers. You know, 10 tracks on there, 18 minutes long, though. But I'm going to play you a little standout track on there. It's called Side to Side. And I was like, man, like this one right here. I was like, this is smooth. And we make it late, make it late. Even when I call her hella late, I'm a shame. So tell me why I should play it safe. I'm a real one. Fresh to death like the first day. I'm recording right now with a cup in hand. Money still stacked in a rubber band. We been taking hella dubs. We gon' win again. Ain't no shorty on my list. I can't hit again. I'll do it front, back, side to side. I think I got her. This dude is gonna go far.
Yes, and as you mentioned, you know, if you don't, for any of our avid listeners, we reviewed Jimmy Waters a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's definitely one of those, if you don't know, now you know type of guys, because he's been putting in that work and he's going very diligently. We're watching him like just grow and just continuously like drop these tapes. So one of my favorite ones that I was introduced to from the pod, for sure.
Absolutely. Yo, so you guys,
and if you don't know, now you know,
get familiar with these people, Miles Prime and Jimmy Waters. So next up, it's about that time, classic corner.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. Classic Corner. It was my pick this week, you know. So since we're already there, so we're going right back to California. None other than The Far Side with Lab Cabin California. We do it, not you. That's why I got you stuck on to my style like glue. The crew definitely is back again, but I'm back to win. So just tell a friend that I'm can't front, this album aged so well. And J Dilla been on the scene, but this joint right here, this really put J Dilla on the forefront. There's so many commercials I done seen this song used and in movies. Crazy.
Absolutely. This is a classic. One of my favorite moments from hearing this song is like somebody like kind of like about the, it's like a dramatic part.
Oh yeah,
like breaking down and you know, they play this song and shit. But well, definitely a staple song for our childhood.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another one. Another one J Dilla did on here. Woo!
Obsolete is the punk that talk more junk than several sales. I jet propel at a rate to complicate the mental state as I invade the masquerade. They couldn't fade with the clipper blade.
Man, 10 years life was so simple back then, right?
Man, super, super yes. simple. So, man, the reason why I decided to do this pick, because even though not too long ago I had did a Bizarre Ride, but yes. Lab Cabin California, like really, really catapulted them up as a group. Cause going back to like what we said around that time from the West Coast, you had a lot of, you know, a lot of the gangster music out there though, but you had really West Coast artists that was just really, really still being about the art and the culture of hip hop. And this group is one of them. And this album, Lab Cabin California, like very, very aged so well from all the joints that we had played from Far Side, but you even got the other joints. She Said Something That Means Something, All Live, mm-hmm. Hey You, Why Is That, It's All Good, A Moment in Time, The Hustle, The Little D, Devil Music, The END. I mean, like, this album, like, really, 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 really aged very well to the point where, like, you know, everybody talks about this album like on all over coast. And then just going back again, like what I said, like this gave J Dilla, like, you know, his shine, and definitely gave his flowers for him to shine and stand out on this album, man. And then just not only that though too, they still out here moving and grooving as a group. And so I just love that about Farside.
Yes,
man. And them just like, you know, just being like, you know, purest MCs of the art form and just of the craft. So I loved every bit of this album, and this album aged very, very well.
I completely agree with you. Like you said, one of the biggest things about Farside is that I feel like they can't really be praised enough simply because they had somewhat of that New York type of sound, but they, you know, coming from LA,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're 9 times out of 10 are mentioned in the same sentence as the Hieroglyphics camp, but definitely stand out. And a lot of they paved the way for, like, you know, a lot of the hip hop that we listen to right now.
Oh, no, absolutely.
From, like you said, just running to, you know, even, you know, switching gears to going back to Passing Me By. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you really can't escape that. So it's really dope that they're still out there doing and still working right now. And I'm really grateful that you resurfaced this gem.
Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, like, you know, so in that concludes our episode, man.
That
like,
time.
Really, yes,
yeah.
definitely about that time, though. But, you know, we just want to just say thank you for, you know, supporting day one. You know, once again, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Rate, subscribe, leave a comment, leave all that good stuff. You know, as we're coming down towards the end of 2022 and just going to be gearing up for 2023 pretty soon. So
yeah.
You're going to be seeing our faces a lot around, like, pretty soon. So go ahead, man. Leave a comment. Show us love. You know, if you like some, leave a comment. If you didn't like it, leave a comment. Or if you felt like we both said some outlandish shit together, leave a comment.
More so, Steve.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, shit, I don't welcome, like, all that shit. But it's all good. Don't get me wrong. Leave the comment. But, you know, shit, it is what it is. All right. Tell a friend that tells a friend that tells another friend. It's always a pleasure. You can definitely catch us on our YouTube and all our streaming platforms. Check out our Instagram, Laced Rhymes on Instagram.
Yep.
Tap in with us. But, yeah.
All right. So, until then, this your boy, Skeeter Steve. Laced Rhymes, we out.